Welcome to the Koshcast. This week, the Premier League is more eventful than a night out with Jan and Vila, as Leicester dig their claws into the title, Newcastle and Sunderland fight for survival, and Spurs win to match their North London rivals, Arsenal, who increase the pressure on Roberto Martinez's hairline. Elsewhere, we've got reaction to Champions League results as we find out that Morata may be in line for a role in the next Superman film, and some chat about the Europa League, also known as the annual Sevilla Achievement Cup. A return to Moomoo of the Week for Nicholas Bentner rounds us off. Let's go! Welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. This is episode, 400? How many? It's been a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like season 3.
But time flies when you're having fun, though.
It does. The
been
voices.
Been a long time.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know. It's supposed to be a song.
But what song?
I don't know.
Okay.
The voices joining me here. Mohamed, how are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You're in an England kit. How well can you possibly be doing?
Yeah, not very well. I think I'm going to get knocked out in the group stage.
he looks a bit uncomfortable, to be fair.
Oh, I would. Bernie, how are you? You're in a Manchester United kit.
Yeah,
current one.
That was a result of earlier on in the day.
Right. And Roche, you're also in a Manchester United kit, but it's from 1999.
Yes, it is a great
you
year.
You retro git.
Exactly.
Hey, we got him that shirt for his birthday.
That's true.
2014.
What did he get you guys for birthdays?
Nothing. He doesn't get us stuff for birthdays.
Ah, he just receives. He doesn't give.
Yeah. That is not true whatsoever. Yeah.
Like a poacher. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, he's a catcher, not a pitcher.
I think I'll take the hint.
So yeah, let's get right into it. We'll start in where we always start, with the Premier League. Where it is heating up, but we will start somewhere where it's not really that hot.
Where?
Kind of fourth spot, battle for fourth spot. You got
it's mild.
Hey, that's a pretty hot battle right now.
It is, and I should be used to that. To be fair,
yeah, I know you're still kind of in that battle.
That's true. But two teams that are in there are the Manchester teams. City United played today, and I don't know if anyone had any high hopes for like an exciting game, because the last few have been dire. This one, not as bad, but still, the quality was quite low.
You mean the last one was dire? I mean, the last one before that was 4-2, so...
Was it?
Come on.
I guess.
I like you said yesterday, you know, United are going to get destroyed by Aguero, and
yes.
I agreed with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not what happened whatsoever. Roche, sum it up for us.
Yeah, it was a bit of give and take in this game. I feel like it started a bit hot, and then the players got a bit tired. They were playing at maybe 75% towards the end of the game. A lot of cramping happened for both sides. Injuries.
That's pathetic. For the money they get, they shouldn't be getting cramp.
They should at least be able to drink water. I fully agree.
They should have bionic
Danny?
Legs.
Danny?
Yeah.
Drink water. Yeah. I think this was a better game than we got in the first half of the season with that 0-0.
Mm-hmm. The bar was low.
The bar was extremely low, so this impressed. But there were chances at either end. And, there could well have been more goals.
Agreed. The game did start, and the first thing I noticed was that, Yaya was, I think, captain. And then he was actually running. Like, he was actually hustling for the ball. It seemed like he was trying this game. That's the first thing I kind of noticed in the first 10, 15 minutes. And then the opposite completely was Di Michelis, who was a joy to watch, to be honest.
If you're a United fan, and if you're not a City fan, which is most people in the world, that was definitely a joy to watch De Michelis play. Because first goal, Marcus Rashford absolutely annihilated him. And it's 50% the skill and 50% the absolute atrociousness of De Michelis' standard of defending right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he slid it past Joe Hart. Wonderful finish, but... honestly, De Michelis, we might as well have a funeral for him right now.
For me, he practically dug himself a hole in the ground because he was on his backside instantly.
For no reason. I know you're 35, but I'm sure you can stand up.
Rashford, like, the finish was brilliant, but he just ran straight to get past De Michelis.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was a nice touch, but he just ran straight and De Michelis fell over. It was brilliant.
I think it looked like De Michelis looked at Rashford and said, I'm going to lose a race here, so I'm just going to lunge in and try and get the ball. But then he really mistimed it, like horribly mistimed it. Rashford, I'm sure, cannot believe he was 1-on-1 in a second.
Yeah, now that I think about it, if De Michelis did win the ball, it would have looked like a very shoddy looking tackle.
Yeah, it was quite
and
it was
then
terrible.
Very, very soon after that, De Michelis brought down Rashford.
Yeah.
In what some people say was a penalty.
Oh, no,
I thought it was a penalty because I know it wasn't too much contact.
Because I'm a United fan.
He did knock him over.
It was a penalty.
Like, it was one of those that I understand why the referee didn't give it, but I thought it was a penalty, and again it was Demi Kalis, and because Rashford ran at him, Demi Kalis had an absolute shocker.
But he also injured Joe Hart by proxy, so that was good with the back cast.
Yeah, at the start of the second half, yes. But interesting you bring up the penalty point, because moments before Rashford went down in the box, there could have been a penalty shot for Yaya Touré at the other end.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know. That one wasn't as, to me, kind of dead certain as the Rashford one. The Rashford one was very clear. He pushed it past him. He came across both legs, and he couldn't have stayed up. He just couldn't.
Then we are in agreement, but if our listeners have other opinions, feel free to express them.
No, don't do that.
What I will say about City, though, and you asked like whether we expected anything from this game. The only thing I expected was that Manchester United would score at least one, because without Kompany, Manchester City concede every 70 minutes.
Yes.
United were almost guaranteed a goal.
Not to talk about without Otamendi, who I know hasn't had the greatest season, but at least he's better than
Mangala. Well, compared to the Michaelis and Mangala, yes, you'd rather have the other two, that's for sure.
On the other hand, we're also talking about a Manchester United team that has only scored 38 goals in 30 games this season.
Sure, yeah. but shocking stat. But they've been scoring more recently, which is
important. I do want to talk about the United team that lined up looked a bit more like a 4-3-3, unlike a 4-2-3-1, which they've been playing all season. And I've been harping on about this all season, about doing that. And I thought Mata playing slightly deeper, I mean, he had the assist for Rashford. I thought that was more what he should be doing. It gives him more space to, you know, command the game. But Rashford, Lingard, and Martial space. Was dangerous all game. They really gave it to the City's backline. And the first half, at least, United probably could have gone 2-0 up at that point.
Watching the game, I mean, you don't remember really Lingard a lot, but I thought he did so well. He was always in the right spot. He picked out those pockets of space. He was really energetic. He looked quite good.
Are we talking about Lingard as one of the intangible kind of players?
Yes, for this game, yes.
Ozil
yeah.
kind of
thing. Exactly. Yeah. He dropped deeper than Martial. And
I'm looking at Alex like, what are you saying?
The intangibles, eh?
Yeah. The other thing is also Sterling did get injured like 20 minutes in. Had to leave. I mean, I don't
that
know.
That makes no difference to anything whatsoever.
Navas, to be honest, if you want to define one-trick pony, Navas is top of your list. All he does is...
Well, Valencia is probably a bit higher on that.
Sure, but at least Valencia does it well. Navas doesn't even do it well. His crosses are like, you know, I don't know, 2 times out of 5 are not good enough.
Valencia's got more than one trick. He's stiff-arming every single player the second he walks on the field. The first time in 4 months he's back. Good to see him back on the field, by the way. But he was absolutely bullying people.
He was. And speaking of bullying people, I thought, like I said before, a girl is going to have a field day. Chris Smalling, he's been good all season.
Yeah.
But for me, this was the single best game he played. And he was redeeming himself from the red card he got in this fixture last season.
Yeah, well, he could have gotten a second yellow, to be fair, if the ref wasn't so lenient.
I didn't think that was a second.
I didn't think so either, but it could have been given. But he did play well against him.
He neutralized Aguero brilliantly. Yeah. And I have to say, that was one of the best defensive performances from a centre-back in the league this season.
To be fair, the thing is, Aguero also hasn't been on the best run of form. I mean, this isn't Aguero in top form, not even close. City haven't scored a goal in 3 games. Norwich, Kiev, and then now. That's a long time for, quote-unquote, a supposedly big team to not score a goal. 3 in a row. That's
not good
enough.
And there was a golden chance for Aguero to equalize. At least 1 or 2, maybe.
He hit the post, but that one De Gea had it covered, though.
The one with the chest down and the shot just wide for the near post.
I do think that this gives, no matter where City finish, even if they finish fourth, for me, this shows just how much work Pep Guardiola has to do. He cannot just come in and take these players and turn them into winning. He has to change almost everything, because they're done.
I was watching this game with my brother, and all we can talk about was that we looked at the City team, and we thought, these guys are not good enough for Pep. Like, in Pep's ideas, in Pep's philosophy, you look at Clichy at left back. No, you look at Sané at right back. Pep likes his right and left back to be comfortable on the ball, coming into the center of mid, helping out. They are not good enough to do
Navas
that.
Navas is not good enough.
They're a very
Raya
old
not
squad,
good enough
too.
Anymore. Boney is definitely not good enough.
No,
like, there's a lot
Boney,
he has to
30
do.
Million.
We,
I cannot believe it.
We might see a lot of changes to the City team for next season, but he's also going to make some of that current squad look great. As you said, you know, in the past, we've had an episode where Mohamed was listing off the names of the Arsenal players. You know, and they all sounded great. But if you list up the same names today, they're not going to sound so great.
True,
so
Pep could have an effect.
You could list the same City names and they don't sound great. But the other thing about this game is, I saw the headline on goal.com saying Van Gaal silenced his doubters, and I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, this guy beat Arsenal. This guy beat Liverpool home and away. No. Sure, he does great. His record against the top six teams is actually brilliant.
It's the best out of the top six.
But the problem is, he's going to win this game and then go play whoever else wins, and they're going to lose. And that's the problem. And he's got to go still.
Cool. Let's move on to the other end of the table. We had a derby again. Newcastle Sunderland 1-1. This one ended. Benitez's second game in charge.
And a Tyneware derby. The mighty Tyneware.
Rafa Benitez's red and black army.
Sorry, black and white.
Black and white.
Toon army.
Yeah. Because the red and black would be a mix of Sunderland and Newcastle.
from the Madrid derby to the Tyneware derby.
They do call themselves the black cats. Even though they're red and white. Yeah. What is the black cat?
It's all that. They're just really unlucky.
Because their shorts are black, right?
Maybe. Yeah. I think it's just an excuse for them to be rubbish.
So the game started quite cautious from both teams. Sunderland, the better side, they were passing the ball a bit more comfortably. There was a couple of changes in the formations of both teams. Colback was playing at left back due to the injuries Newcastle had. And Kirchhoff was playing in midfield for Sunderland. And to be fair, he had his best game so far. I mean, he was out of center back, which he had some horrible performances there. And, you know, we had a lot of fun with that. He played really well in midfield. And the game was obviously not, you know, the most entertaining. But it did ramp up once Defoe got that first goal for Sunderland.
Defoe.
He's definitely on a. His whole season has been great from a stats point of view.
What I feel about Jermaine Defoe is that he performs really well in the first couple of games. He sleeps for the winter, and then when the springtime shows up, he starts something again.
It's a bit like that.
It's true.
But he's a natural goal. I hate that cliche, but that's really what he is.
He's always at the right spot at the right time and just taps him in, and that's what he did today after
apart
a really
from
good
4 months in the winter.
Yes, apart from
Rashay and I were talking about this game while we're watching it, and we thought to ourselves, well, we were having a mini debate, and then I won him over, thank God.
Yeah.
About Wijnaldum. Mm. Because it was his cross for Mitrovic's equalizer, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And I just think, and I think we all kind of agree, he is so much better than this Newcastle team.
Yeah.
And it's shocking that with the players that they actually have, Wijnaldum aside, Mitrovic had a great record before Newcastle.
Yeah.
Shelvey, let's just say he's
a not a bad
player.
He's not a bad player.
They have a bunch of players.
Ayoze, really.
Exactly. Who are better than this. And my question is,
Sissoko?
Is that why Benitez decided to take this job? Newcastle are 3 points off survival, which doesn't seem like much, but with the way that these teams all play, that's a lot of points.
No,
why would you take the job
because
with Rafa?
You know what is a funny point that I just realized? Benitez has gone from Madrid's bad management to Newcastle's bad management.
Yes.
Let's see how he does now.
Sure. Yeah. But no, I think that's absolutely it. Like, if the Sunderland job were available, Benitez isn't taking it. But he's taking it because this squad is so badly underperforming that if he keeps them up, next season, with the right investment and with Benitez there, you're looking at a mid-table finish.
I mean, to be fair to Benitez, at 1-0 down, he did make a lot of really, really positive subs that did contribute to them getting the goal. So Mitrovic was already on the field. He brought on De Jong and Cissé.
Mm-hmm.
He had all of his strikers on the field all at once. And like you said, by Haldum's cross to Mitrovic, who absolutely went insane in the celebration.
He's a nutcase.
Shirt off. There's a fan on the field. He goes for the fan, gives him a huge hug. And then after that, he gets a concussion. Benitez is literally, and no lie, Mitrovic is trying to get back on the field, and Benitez is grabbing his arm and pulling back. And Mitrovic is pushing Benitez out the way to get back on the field. And
well, he knows that you're going to die in this pitch.
Yes. It was the funniest thing I've seen.
As crazy and reckless as that was for Mitrovic, I think this is what Newcastle need in terms of not the irrationality of it, but
the
intensity and the spirit of it, because that's what they were lacking. They win a game, I think it was 6-whatever against Norwich, and the next game they get hammered. They need just these guys to care.
Big up to the Newcastle fans, to be honest. They were amazing. They were incredible. When the Sunderland goal went in and then Newcastle started to up the tempo, because obviously naturally Sunderland sat back, Allardyce was going absolutely mental. His head was going to pop off from how much he was trying to tell Sunderland players not to sit back and take, you know, the pressure for 20 minutes. And
he knew they wouldn't last.
Yeah, and the fans were brilliant.
To be fair, Newcastle fans are probably the best in the league.
They're one
of
the best, for
sure. They suffered a lot, and they are the loudest people
ever. Yeah, I kind of feel like they like suffering. I feel like this is the team of suffering.
It's a bit like you. I don't know why you don't support them.
Newcastle?
You like suffering.
I don't like suffering at all.
No?
I can't handle suffering for one season with United. That's why I picked United.
Before we move on, though, I have to say Elliot in goal for Newcastle had 3-4 and this is not an exaggeration, world-class saves. They were, I was already like, goal, done. Done and dusted, this is definitely a goal. And he just pulled one after the other out of his locker,
and they
were fantastic.
He's been doing that, though, every time he's played, which is great, because now Van Gaal can sign Krul and bring him on to save penalties.
Yeah, I love it. Van Gaal made that sub, people like, that's it, the messiah, it's over. This is probably next the best game of the weekend. Southampton 3, Liverpool 2.
Can I say that when the highlights came on, so Rochelle and I were watching at a game at O'Grady's here in Toronto. And when the highlights came on, the United fans were cheering like mad. This is, in case people don't believe it, the hatred between United and Liverpool is strong, even up in Canada.
It is real.
It was amazing.
Yeah, the game started off. I mean, Southampton are in a kind of a bad run right now. And they went through this great period where they couldn't concede a goal. Everything looked great again after the Arsenal 4-0 and all that. Now they're in a bad patch of form. And Liverpool really made that count. They started off really well. Sturridge looked great. Origi looked great on the transition.
Coutinho
looked
great.
It looked like a good partnership.
Exactly.
Sure.
Firmino was injured as well. So this was all without Firmino. And it all looked great. 2-0 Liverpool, Coutinho scoring that, you know, goal from outside the box. Twitter's going insane. The best number 10 in the league.
Sturridge with a beautiful finish.
Oh, wait. Can we talk about the Sturridge goal?
Yes.
He did his dance
to
lose the defender. And then scored and then did his dance again.
He continued his dance, the follow through. Yeah,
that's brilliant. True.
It was really nice to see that dance coming out.
That's not, it is. He's a wonderful player when he's fit.
The finish was so really good. He's
been fit for like a month. Yeah. So next month, we never know what's going to happen.
The thing is with Sarge, he gets injured in between games. So you don't really see him get injured.
That's actually true.
He doesn't really get injured on the field.
He's never taken off on a stretcher or anything like that.
It's always just like, oh, by the way, Sarge is injured.
He's probably like, you know what? I did well last week. I'm going to take this week off.
Yeah. The one thing, though, is before we get into the fun part of this game, at 2-0, I could see Klopp's effect on the Liverpool team. They played the way he wants to play. They looked really fluid. Everything's great. And his hardest kind of next step now for next season, or even the remainder of the season, is to have them a bit more solid in midfield and defense.
He is bringing in Matip, who we'll see how he plays.
Yeah.
You know, he's supposed to be good because that defense is shit.
No, a new goalkeeper. Let's be real.
Yes.
I know he saved the penalty in this game, but
he's not reliable.
Yeah, for the third goal, the game-winning goal in the 86th minute.
Well, let me say, you guys,
in the first half, like, we're talking about how they played according to the way Klopp wants them to play. They pressed their high tempo. They could have scored 5.
Oh, they could have.
It was shocking how either bad or good, how bad Southampton were, or how brilliant they were. It was unbelievable.
Easily. And then the one moment that changed this whole game is Lovren getting subbed off for Skrtel. And the rest is history.
Why did that happen?
I have no idea. Mm. I missed that. That moment.
I'm going to assume it was injured. I don't think...
Yeah, it had to be injured because, I mean, Lovren was fine to that point. And if you're doing worse than Lovren, you've got issues.
And how can we say that Lovren coming off was a bad thing for Liverpool?
Exactly.
Been good at all.
Yeah, but like for Skrtel to be worse, that takes some doing.
But it wasn't just Skrtel though. Sako was crap. Sadio Mane ruined him.
To be fair, Sadio Mane was a great sub for Southampton.
Yeah, but Sadio Mane, who hasn't scored in months and could barely pass a ball for like... He lost his place in the starting lineup. He came on as a sub today. No one was expecting much. And he missed the penalty, and you think that's it.
That was before Southampton scored. Yeah. Well, Mane scored. He missed the penalty. Yeah, you probably thought, this is not your season.
Yeah, so
2-0 at that point.
3 left foot finishes for Southampton. One by Pelle, 2 by Mane.
Beautiful Pelle goal.
All of
them were stunning strikes. Just on that, on the missed penalty, Klopp celebrated the save like he would a goal.
Yeah.
He went mental.
Yeah. See, I mean, he's feeling the pressure.
For the first time, I know Mo always said it's not professional. He doesn't like all that emotion. For the first time, and I said before, you know, it's great. It's refreshing. That was the first time I thought, you know what, no.
It gets tired.
Like,
I didn't really like that.
I don't know why.
I'm bored of it already.
It was, because the clip went to Koeman, and he was upset, obviously. And then the next thing you see is like this fist-pumping German. Yeah. And I was like,
you know what?
This is not, I don't know. It was classy about it.
Koeman gave it back to him.
Oh, yes. He did.
And the game winner. Koeman was running down the touchline.
Both goals.
He doesn't do that normally.
No,
he's usually fairly restrained.
Yeah, I would get really bored of Klopp being my manager really fast with those antics.
I wonder if he can run faster than I can.
Yes.
Ronald Koeman.
The answer to that question, regardless of who it is yes.
I feel like he starts slower, but he builds momentum. Because he has more mass.
Okay, inertia.
He starts rolling after a while.
Physics lesson, guys.
Yeah.
He's a wheel.
We gave Benitez... props for his subs, but also Koeman. He brought in Wanyama, Mane, and Ward-Prowse, and they really changed the game. Wanyama just started dominating that midfield when he started to come on.
The way we said Liverpool could have scored five in the first half,
yeah.
Southampton could have easily scored five in the second
yes,
half.
It was disgusting. That's true.
Except for the fact that Benteke did his best impression of a complete useless piece of crap.
Yeah.
I can't understand.
But he's really good at that. So
his season has just gone from like terrible to sad. Like, it's just sad.
Yeah,
no,
like
it really is.
Under the water tundra region.
Yeah, we're at the point where like you can imagine that maybe he'd have to move just to start playing
yeah.
better. Like,
I'm not sure it's his quality. I just think that
no,
in front of Sturridge, Coutinho, Firmino, all of these kind of players, they have these, you know, these
doesn't
flair.
Fit.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then I saw a rumor today of Juventus interested in Benteke, and I went,
no.
I could have made that up.
Yeah.
And then sold it to a paper. That's okay. Literally
I think
what
that
happened.
Is so bad, I couldn't have even made that up.
No, but you know what? If he played for Juventus, he'd score 20 goals a season.
Sure.
I don't doubt it. He played 4-4-2. Like,
if Mandzukic can do it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Mandzukic is just a better player, but the difference isn't massive.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
To cap off a bad weekend for Merseyside, Everton lost to Arsenal at home, 2-0. Arsenal coming off a horrendous week for them, out of the FA Cup, losing twice to Barcelona.
You okay?
Well,
you okay?
Better today.
Because you've been angry.
He's wearing an England shirt.
Yeah, this couldn't get any worse.
Is it the England shirt or is it a white flag?
For our listeners to understand, Mohamed has been... I've known Mohamed more than 10 years now. I've never seen him like this. Every time I talk to him, he could be talking about the weather. He goes, yeah, it's just as bad at the Emirates. He gets so upset.
Yeah, the weather's just as bad as Jerome.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's so... Theo Walcott, he walks down the street and sees a shawarma vendor and he thinks of Theo Walcott. Everything reminds him of Arsenal.
The other day I was trying to laugh at Chelsea being rubbish. And suddenly Walcott was brought into the conversation. I was like, can I just enjoy laughing at Chelsea?
But there was
minute,
also
please?
A period of time where every time I came onto our Under the Cosh thread, I would see Mohamed's first comment and it would always start with the word Wenger. There was like at least five or six instances in a row.
Guys, it's been a very tough 2016, and you can't blame me. It's been horrible. We've gone off a cliff, and just today we've slightly brought it back up. We're still in that valley.
But
we're still waiting.
Every season in the springtime, when Jermaine Defoe wakes up.
It's like the last 10 years of Arsenal dross has finally come to this point where Mohamed cannot have it. I still have the recording in 2007 where he told me Arsenal would win the league.
I'll tell you why it boiled over this season. It's because when I used to look above us, I'd see City, I'd see Chelsea, I'd see United. This season it boiled over because I look above and I see Spurs, can't even say it, and then I see Leicester. Come on, man. Like,
how
that's
do you think
not
we feel
you know,
see you.
To be fair, we did discuss this Arsenal squad at the beginning of the season when they signed Petr Cech. We said, you know what, their defense is going to be great. They're going to, you know, they're going to have that solidarity.
And it was
at
for
the back.
A while.
They had the chance to pull away, two games in hand, 42 points.
Yep.
And now they still have 55 points, and it's been like 3 months since.
Can I remind you of something? Just to go on a tangent slightly.
Yes.
November, beginning of November, Manchester United were first.
Mm.
How does this make you feel now? Everything that whenever Mohamed gets upset about Arsenal, I think to myself, we are worse. They were great. Everything was looking good. They were almost top, whatever. We were the game of United and Leicester.
Yeah, the winner
of that game went top. And from that point on, we've been dire. So everything that Mohamed complains about, I'm like, I feel worse.
But that's exactly the point. Despite how dire United have been, they're only 5 points behind Arsenal at this point. Right
so,
now.
You know, that was a
but
long
also,
tangent. We should get onto the game.
So Arsenal have no excuses.
But
that's
also,
true.
Just to, you have to look at the difference in squads, too. Arsenal's squad is way
better
than United.
Yeah.
Way better.
So, what we're basically saying is...
They're both shit.
So, this game wasn't so shit from Arsenal. They actually came out and decided to play first half of football. For the first time in very long, because for a while now, we've only decided to play in the second half. Last 10 minutes. Thankfully, this time, started off really well. Elneny and Coughlin in midfield were amazing. Just buzzing around, kind of nibbling at everything, not letting people have time on the ball, and it did great. Elneny, I'm loving. He scored against Barcelona. We'll get to the Champions League games. And Arsenal haven't won at Goodison since like April 2012. So
really?
It's not an easy place to go for us. Gabriel dominated Lukaku. There's a lot of positives
in
this
game. He did, actually. Somehow Gabriel, like we were talking about him the other week, saying he started off his Arsenal career really well, and then this season has been a bit of a disaster.
I mean, he almost got a red... He should have got a red card at Watford. So he's it's been a pretty crappy time for him.
This season he's been pretty terrible for the most part. But today he was back to what we saw initially, mm-hmm. which is that Lukaku really couldn't even get in the game.
Agreed. And then our first goal was almost a tiki-taka, very nice play. Sanchez to Ozil, to Sanchez to Welbeck, and Welbeck made the beautiful run. His touch was actually really nice to take it around the keeper. He's been great since he came back. He has like 4 goals in 6 games or something like that. He's been fantastic.
And I want to talk a little bit about that goal, because that is a very Arsenal-esque goal that we haven't seen much in the last couple of matches.
Agreed.
But it was all started with that little pass by Mesut Ozil.
Yep, back to Sanchez.
Yep, angle that, you know, another player more conservative would have passed it back, passed it sideways. Ozil just decided to go for the gap.
Outside of the foot.
And it made all the difference.
Is Danny Welbeck, and maybe this is weird question, but is he the guy?
No.
Is he that guy?
No.
Because you complain about Giroud.
No.
You complain about Walcott.
No. I am done with is he maybe. The minute you ask me is he, then he's not good enough. Mm. If we're all in agreement that that guy is, without even having to ask the question, like an Ibra even now, or whoever it is, a Cavani, an Aguero, we would never ask that question. Would you ask, is Aguero that guy?
No.
Exactly. The minute you ask the question, then he's not that guy. Okay. That's it.
Okay, that's fair.
All right. Other point before we move on is Iwobi.
Great game.
Fantastic game. The guy has had an unbelievable week. The opposite of Arsenal. He's had his first Champions League appearance.
Chucked him in against
Barcelona. At the new camp. He played fantastic.
He did.
He first full start in the Premier League. First Premier League goal. His week has been fantastic. He's only 19.
Very good finish as well. Through the legs.
A great counterattack on that. But Iwobi is great, and he's JJ Okocha's cousin, so Nigeria, whatever. But I do.
Whatever. He doesn't care.
I'm just trying to, like, tamp it down a bit.
Do that again, though.
No. He I didn't want to say that.
The best thing I heard though before you go on, the best thing I heard though about JJ Okocha was someone saying he's so good they named him twice.
I think just, Allardyce said it first. The thing that about this game for me is that we're talking about Lukaku and Gabriel did brilliantly, but the reason for me why Lukaku didn't do so well in general is because Elneny and who was
Coughlin.
It they did a great job of the service to him was almost non-existent.
Long balls,
so every time he did get the ball, it was he didn't know what to do with it. But the service was not good enough, and it was because those two guys in the middle.
Agreed.
But allow the other guys to express themselves.
Also, Everton were just terrible.
Oh yeah,
Martinez is a fraud. I keep telling you this, he is a fraud. It's about time.
You know, I saw him in the attendance today at the Manchester Derby. I was wondering what he was doing there.
Look,
he has no business being there.
Because he thinks that United are going to beat West Ham. That just shows how much of a fraud he is.
Right. He is a fraud. I don't like him.
But we play them next week.
He's shifty.
Before we move on, I have to say, Bellerin with an assist. He now has 6 in all competitions. That's more than like Rooney, Fabregas, and all that. So I have to say, he's done really well offensively.
Compared him to 2 fat people. I guess.
Yeah, but
I'm just going
to
say,
Fabregas is supposed to have assists.
Fabregas.
In the last 3 months, he has been pretty awful. So
the whole Arsenal
it's nice and all, but he has been pretty awful.
Sure, but he has been, over the season, really important for our attacking. Unlike Monreal, for example, has been great both going up and down.
Quick comment about Iwobi, just to get back to that. Champions League, great appearance against Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Good goal. He's 18, 19. You know what this means, right?
Barca DNA?
No, injured for the next 2 seasons.
Oh, yeah, for
guaranteed.
Sure. Wilshire, the Wilshire trajectory.
Yeah. Quick question, Wenger in or out next season?
If you talk to Mohamed, let me speak for Mohamed.
Are you asking opinion or what will
let me speak for Mohamed? Mohamed, out.
All right.
Now.
So Mohamed wants Wenger out, Arsenal?
Out.
I mean, out.
Arsene Wenger to not be the manager next season.
Alex, yes, he's
Alex
finally
made it. Yeah.
But
he will
send his resume in for the job.
Alex?
Yes.
Alex is the greatest
manager,
one of the Koch FC co-win I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's talking to us now about the tactics.
Yes.
He's thinking about it in intense of podcasting.
Alex,
but we should go on to
Chelsea West Ham. Let's do that.
Another London derby.
Oh, a lot of derbies today.
Yeah.
Chelsea still unbeaten under Hiddink in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Hiddink says that's not good enough. There's like too many draws.
Dink.
So yeah, I mean, this game started off West Ham favorites, to be honest.
Yo, big time.
At the Bridge.
Well, they're like 20 places above.
Yeah, that's true. West Ham started really well. Lanzini, what a beauty!
A rocket.
It was a great goal.
Ooh, what
that
a goal.
Rocket ship.
Courtois had no chance with that one.
And he's huge.
He's huge.
You start off to have a chance, you know.
Yeah,
it was perfect.
Yeah, that's what De Bruyne's girlfriend said.
We have to end. Guys, we will see you next week.
Cesc did come back with a brilliant free kick, though.
It was really good.
It was really
good.
Yeah. That's true. And then he also scored a penalty, Fabregas. He scored two goals.
That's his best chance performance ever.
That's the thing. Loftus-Cheek's dive.
Cheek.
Loftus-Cheek.
He's off a paddle.
Dive, yeah. Paddle. I felt it was quite a dive.
It was.
Yeah.
I thought there was contact, but like, it was
that's the thing.
I mean, Iwobi didn't get it at Barca. Same exact thing.
Well, right.
Anyway,
he hasn't earned it yet.
Yeah. Sure, but Loftus-Cheek.
Back to the game.
Loftus-Cheek is not like 20 or whatever he's supposed to be.
He doesn't look to him. Have you seen what Lukaku looks like?
Probably Nigerian and probably fake this.
Him and Obi Mikel are just like trading passports.
You know, we should also check Kingsley Coman's.
I'm going to say mine. He looked at me so deep in the eye.
Now that I think about it, we should also check Bernie's passport.
Bernie's been around for ages. Payet did get two assists, so he did contribute to this game. And Carroll scored with his first touch. Courtois really suspect for that one.
Dodgy finish.
That was a dodgy.
I'm sorry. If Carroll scores, then you know that this team is buzzing.
No.
Yeah.
He
scored with his foot,
with his feet. Yeah.
I mean, West Ham are really trying to push for as high table as they can. Europa League, they should really make it there, but they still have a chance of pushing it to fourth.
If you look at the table, City have on the same games. City have 51 points. West Ham United have 50 points.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 1 point separating this top.
There's absolutely nothing to say that West Ham won't
do. United also have 50 points, but they're behind West Ham in goal difference.
Yeah, one goal separates.
So it's a very, very tight table there. Now let's go to the top.
Champions elect? Can we say it?
Yes, we can start there. So Tottenham 3, Bournemouth 0.
Drink the Leicester, the king.
How dare
what is that?
How that's the Eric Cantona.
I know.
How dare you?
The king. Power Stadium.
Get out.
Crystal Palace lost to Leicester 1-0 at home. To be fair, this game was all about world-class defending from Leicester. Unbelievable. The centre-backs, the wing-back, everybody did the role. Kante, drink water. Again, we say the same thing. We might as well be on a recording. This is the third 1-0 in a row.
Mohamed tweeted about Wesley Morgan.
Yes.
Right? And how dominating he apparently was.
Yeah.
See, my problem with Leicester is this. They're a great team. Mm-hmm. They're winning the league. They probably deserve it. We all doubted them, and they're proving us wrong. But would you sign Wesley Morgan?
No.
Because that's what I'm wondering. I'm like, is he actually good, or is this just mental?
It's a mental season. That's
would you sign Vardy, and would he do this?
No.
Like, what's going to happen
whatever
if they
happens,
all leave?
The second any change happens to this Leicester squad, it's over. That's it. This is it.
That's true.
This last 8 weeks.
They have been very lucky with no injuries. They've played the same starting 11 every single game. 70th minute, Ojoa comes on. It's the exact same game on recording every
single game. It's why when people say, and I believe he's amazingly talented, Mahrez. When people say you should sign him, in my head, I'm like, if you bring Mahrez to an Arsenal, to to a Chelsea, is he going to have the same impact?
I think Mahrez and Kante are the two out of that team that could do it.
I think just
in
Kante.
A bigger team.
I only think Kante.
I think there's no reason that they couldn't do it at a bigger team or on another stage, but I don't think that this season is evidence of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
I mean,
not enough.
Look at Sterling, for example. He's having a horrendous season, can barely pass the ball. I think Mahrez right now over Sterling.
It just makes me wonder if there are certain units and certain teams and certain arrangements and managements, you know, because Mahrez before this was not that great.
No.
So we're literally saying right now in this context, this is amazing. But if you change it, what's going to happen?
Tweak and they could start falling apart. I agree. But to be fair, Kante was also injured for 2 games and they were just fine.
Well, he was injured for one. Then he did some horse placenta nonsense, came back and was amazing.
Yeah, Mancini carried him on his back to the Inter scouts.
3-1-0 victories in a row for Leicester.
That's
big. That's very big coming into the end.
Schmeichel did really well as well, saving a lot. The Crystal Palace did hit the bar last second of the game, so they did scrape away with that one. But the funny moment in this game was Huth in a corner, attacking corner, and he had his shirt taken off him, completely off his head, and it was in his hands. I don't know if you guys saw it.
It's not the first time we've seen this. Every corner kick, you're seeing it. The defender's holding onto the guy's shirt.
He took his shirt to the ref, and he literally said, I have it in my hand.
What do you want to do, bro?
Yeah.
To be fair, Scott Dan was never going to let go of his shirt, and Hoot, with his hands out in front of him, just knew, okay, all I have to do is slip out of it.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah. So anyways, Leicester, again, not much to say. They're still top of the league. It's in their hands, 5 points ahead of Tottenham, because Tottenham got the win against Bournemouth today. So simple. The thing is, Leicester seem to fight and work hard for their 1-0 wins. It's dodgy. It's, you know, anything can happen. Spurs right now in the Premier League walk onto the field, have a field day. It's as easy as it comes. 2-3-0. Thank you very much. Bring on the next game. They're so comfortable in their game.
Too bad they're crap in Europe.
Yeah, they don't care. Well, he threw Europe, to be fair.
He threw Europe, and Dortmund are a bloody good team.
Yes, it's true.
The thing is, and you're right, Spurs have looked very, very convincing recently, but they've also been playing relatively easy teams. Bournemouth were in very good form.
See, I was ready for that.
I know.
I was ready for that.
Bournemouth were in very good form, but the difference is still massive.
Sure.
And they should always beat Bournemouth.
Sure, but City drew to Norwich, Arsenal lost to Watford.
I'm sorry. City, don't bring them up.
Not the
City
point.
They lost to Man United today. That shows you how
it's. But this is the difference between Spurs and a lot of other teams, is that in a season where most teams have been horribly inconsistent, Spurs have been incredibly
consistent. They've lost, twice?
Except for the first 2-3 months of the season, where they weren't bad, they just weren't good enough. And that's why they're not winning this league right now.
They had a lot of draws at the start, and also Kane didn't score for the first 10 games of the season or so, and now he's top scorer of the league.
And he got two with one touch today.
Yes.
Also, they've only conceded 24 goals. They had the highest goal differential in the league.
Yeah. They're up there in Europe with like Atletico and stuff.
Yeah.
They're up there.
It's just, I think the start of the season crippled them, and that's why Leicester are going to win this league. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, of the next two games, Leicester lose one, or if they just keep pace, but Leicester lose a game and they don't have games to spare at the end, Tottenham are going to win this league.
Before I think that's the last game we're talking about. Before we move on, the thing with Leicester is now there's a 2-week break for international duty. A lot of this Leicester, but like, you have to, that is a huge factor, guys. You have, talk about the United Cities, Arsenal, and Tottenham. You've got these teams are playing games on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, they're playing in the cups. It's a big deal that the Leicester team only plays every weekend, and now they have 2 weeks off.
Well, Arsenal and Spurs are both out of all the other competitions now.
But up to this point, it makes a big difference.
It's going to be fun.
Well, it was like when Liverpool nearly won the league a few seasons ago. It's because they had nothing else to play.
Yeah. To be fair, this Leicester team is very different from that Liverpool team. They only have three players
They're better.
Renowned.
I actually think there are some similarities.
As a team, they're quite good. Alright, I mean, other scores really quickly. Watford lost to Stoke 2-1. That's mid-table, nothing's really riding on that. Norwich finally get 3 points away to West Brom.
And annoying for Rafa, but because Norwich are right ahead of
them. Great, the 1-1 draw, Sunderland at Newcastle is fantastic for Norwich.
Their fans sang "We are staying up," which is a bit premature.
Yeah, that's scary. I would not do that. Swansea beat Villa 1-0.
That's a terrible result for Swansea. You've got to get two at least.
Swansea have gone from 5th to 15th.
Yeah, but now, recently they beat Arsenal, Villa. They've racked up a lot of points.
Just like Jermaine Defoe. That's what their team is.
Yeah, they sleep in the middle.
Is this the Jermaine Defoe podcast?
They hibernate in the winter. It's possible,
He will never get more mentions than this. When he signed for Toronto FC, he didn't get this many mentions.
Not at all.
Villa, I believe Remy Gard is about to be sacked.
No.
Yeah.
I heard that Nigel Pearson will take over at Villa.
They should have kept Sherwood, like, it was fine.
It
was really crap.
Maybe this is the damage we're seeing from Sherwood's reign.
But from one moment to another.
Yeah, let's move on to that.
Moomoo!
Of the week.
Can we welcome back Nicholas Bentner to Moomoo of the Week?
Welcome back, Lord Bentner.
Good old Nicholas. Last time, I believe it was for shagging a taxi.
wasn't it for the bikini picture that he took?
There was two at least.
The man thong thing.
Rather shag a taxi with the door open than be a City fan.
No, it's not.
Wow.
But I like the remix.
Good. Alex, as you were.
This week, it's really tame for Nicholas Bentner, actually. He just overslept and missed training and got a fine. But it's just, the thing about this is that it never gets any better for him.
No.
Like, he's been doing the same shit for 10 years. He hasn't learned one lesson.
Why do teams keep signing him?
So my problem
is only one.
He doesn't have a phone. Because he doesn't have a phone or doesn't know how to use it. Maybe there was an update on his phone and the phone went comatose.
And he couldn't wake up. The phone turned into a vegetable. Wow. But yeah, for Bender that is quite mild. But
no wonder the alarm on my broccoli didn't go off.
It's like, sorry, coach.
Yeah, from apple to broccoli.
Yeah, there you go.
So our next Mumu, and he should be here more, but ever since he became captain, he's been a good boy.
Yes.
But Wayne Rooney, maybe an honest mistake, but I'll make fun of him anyway.
Yep.
It was a happy St. Paddy's Day message that he sent to his Twitter followers, but the flag was the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Which means he was saying happy Ivory Coast Day.
Yeah.
Because
like,
it was Ivory Coast Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Didier. Didier's like, what are you talking about, bro?
It wasn't quite Ireland. It was Ivory Coast.
Exactly. I mean, they are geographically similar.
Not at all. Sure, not
right?
at all.
They speak the same language.
Yeah, they're close by. They both border each other.
They do have the same flag, so.
Yeah.
Not. This is true. Not. The same flag, by the way.
All they did is they put a mirror there and they go, oh, I quite like that.
I mean, if it was a Nigerian flag, I'd understand it because we drink more Guinness than the Irish.
Yeah.
But.
What? You do actually.
We do. And our Guinness is stronger than theirs.
Oh, but Guinness is Guinness. Why is it stronger?
Because we're Nigerian, brah.
Is it Guinness Nigerian edition?
We have a Guinness brewery.
Okay.
This is making me really thirsty.
Alright, Champions League happened midweek. Let's start. Yeah, we'll talk about that and the Europa League. Let's start with the Champions League. Barcelona beat Arsenal 3-1.
That Suarez goal, yes. I've been thinking about it for the last 6 or 7 days. Has it even been 6 or 7 days?
No, it hasn't.
That's exactly how much I've been thinking about it. It was beautiful. It was a goal that brought me back to my childhood roots.
Wow.
I mean, it was to be fair, it was his only touch in the game too. So he did really well. Like that's top scorer to do that. But one chance, one goal.
Like he scores goals like this.
Yeah, I'm just trying to.
You
think
really
of,
like this goal?
This goal was beautiful. It was everything
You're
about
to
it
say
didn't make
skull.
Sense.
You said this goal.
Yeah,
the skulls.
What about this goal made you think of California, Singapore, or Mumbai?
Well, like it was complete. Okay, so Suarez both legs in the air. Dani Alves has
was
a cross.
Was it the swiftness of the hit?
It was the angle that the ball took. What's it called?
Geometry?
Yes.
No. No, the trajectory.
The trigonometry.
Wow.
We're just
Pythagoras theorem.
But the angle at which the ball was hit midair, outside of the boot,
this point,
top corner. But yes. not only does it hit the top corner of the post going in, but it like glides through the entire net. Like
I'm glad
sweeps the net.
I'm glad you're really passionate about
Mohamed
this. Mohamed
tried to like just get through this quickly.
Yeah.
So the pain wouldn't
happening.
Be as much, but Roche wanted to
to
extend
be fair,
his pain.
All of MSN scored, Messi scored the brilliant little flick, Neymar also scored. They all did, they all had a field day. Arsenal didn't even play that bad and still lost 3-1.
They created 19 chances.
Yeah, they did 19 chances. 20 chances and like 3 on target.
Beautiful goal.
Oh, the Egyptian. He brought it. First goal for the club. I loved it.
Was this better than Suarez's goal?
I thought it was quite good.
Is he the Sphinx?
He's the Tutankhamun.
Because you know they call Gabriel Favela. You told me that.
Yes.
I wonder if they call this guy Sphinx.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Pyramid field. Just saying.
Pyramid field. Yeah. 4-3.
If you had another Egyptian, then it would be the pyramid field.
No, it'd just be 3 triangle, like a triangle. Okay, anyways. Okay. So yeah, nothing really to take from this game except yay, Barcelona. Bayern, this one. Over two legs.
This one
was
gonna take over from 100.
This is a Champions League classic. It doesn't feel like a classic because we're watching it now, but
yes,
it is a classic.
It is a classic, and this is how it happened. From the first beginning of the tie. 2-0 Bayern, 2-2 Juve come back, 4-2 Juve go up, 4-4 Bayern come back, and then Bayern clinched it in extra time at 6-4, and we all know why they clinched it, because according to Müller, Pep did say, if you don't win this at extra time, I will castrate every single one of you.
Apparently he went mental.
Yeah.
And just ripped into them. And this was annoying for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because Allegri, I remember in the world, whatever, like FIFA awards, he wasn't even top 3, which made no sense. So I've been really on his bandwagon since then. But then going 2-0 up in this game against Pep, I have a vendetta against Pep Guardiola.
Right.
Everyone knows this now. And I thought, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm right.
I think you
and
described
Allegri
as the savior.
You did say
did,
at 2-0 when Juve were up, you're like, all right, guys, I've had a long flight. I'm going to go take a nap. If I wake up and Bayern have won this, I'm going to be really upset.
And I really was. Yeah. I was fuming.
To be fair, though, to Allegri, I mean, his subs were horrendous. But also, they did do this without Marchisio, Chiellini, and Dybala. I have a feeling if Chiellini was there, they would have scraped this 2-1 or so. Like, he's a big loss for them. So, unfortunate for Juve. Bayern really did scrape through, though. And
they did. I don't even think... I mean, the Chiellini point, sure. But Cuadrado had an unbelievable chance to put them 3-0 up. And that would have been it. I'm sorry. It would have been it.
So, Müller scoring...
Again.
Yes.
Oh,
right at the death.
Unmarked.
Kingsley Coman.
Standard.
What a game. He came on as a sub. Him and Thiago. So, Kingsley Coman and Thiago came on. And they changed the game. Thiago scored the goal. Coman was... next level. Like, he's the best youngster right now.
Kingsley Coman, 1996, someone check his passport.
I wish the UEFA had the same rules as the Premier League, only for this game, where you can't play against a team that... it's a parent club.
Yeah.
Because he devastated them.
He did. He's fantastic.
Juve could have inserted that clause.
And by the way, I reject your best youngster comment.
Okay, who's the best director? Martial?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, let's not... Please. I don't even want to...
Dele Alli.
On a higher level.
Hold on. Dele Alli, Coleman, Martial has 13 goals a season, by the way.
Fantastic, bro.
For a 20-year-old. Who do you think is the best youngster?
Marcus Rashford.
he had to just join them, and we have a majority vote. This is how things work.
Oh my God. Okay, but on a higher level, big picture-wise... Whenever Bayern Munich have played Italian teams in the Champions League, generally, it has been a good game. A few years ago, we saw Bayern and AC Milan throw off an equally good classic, just like this one. But this one shaded it a little
bit. This one did, over both legs.
This one is one of the best I've seen in a long time.
And the key to that is that Bayern are an unbelievable machine going forward, but they're also fallible. They also concede.
You know what? Nothing gives me right now more joy in football than seeing Neuer concede. Because when he concedes, he cannot handle it.
You find it very annoying.
I love it.
I hate Neuer so much.
I'm with you on the Neuer thing.
Yeah.
I don't
Speaking
like
about keepers, Atletico PSV was 0-0 both legs. It was definitely the keeper's performances.
Oblak is pretty good.
Was it really the keeper's performance, or was it the midfield just playing the ball in midfield?
Actually, there was quite a few good saves from both keepers to keep the game at 0-0. Until the penalties where the keepers decided not to do anything anymore, because this set a new record of 8-7. Atletico won this one 8-7. The record that was broken was Arsenal-Roma 7-6.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't make a single save. At like 8-7, there was like 16 penalties. Yeah, 16 penalties, and the only one that got missed at the last one hit the post.
Yeah, most of the penalties were really good penalties. It wasn't just that the keeper went
away. To be fair, Atletico Madrid don't score goals, period. If it's not a corner...
Until recently, though.
They didn't score...
But against PSV, they should have more than no goals over two legs.
You know, for Atletico, I saw a very crazy stat recently of Simeone's time in charge. He's played about 230-odd games, and from that, he's got over 120 clean sheets.
More than half of them.
Yeah, he's more than 50% of them. Yeah. That is mental.
That's absolutely nuts. Yeah.
But they also lost this weekend, so maybe it's a dodgy
The league
week.
Is pretty much... Mm-hmm. I mean, Barca did draw, but the league is pretty much done. City 0-0 against Kiev. Mm. I mean, they already...
don't care.
Yeah, this was done
already. They didn't care, we don't
care. Yeah, it was an absolute... Like, my notes here say absolute non-event. So I don't think there's much...
I'm impressed Kiev showed up, to be honest.
It was a Fernando of a game.
Yeah. The quarterfinal draw is out April 5th and 6th is the first round. You've got Barca Atletico. That is tough.
That's the last team that Barcelona won.
Yes, that is
a big
game.
That's who took them out last season.
Yes,
right?
With that brilliant strike top right corner. Season before, they won the whole thing.
If Barcelona are to progress, I just ask the Atletico players to foul the absolute living hell out of them.
Oh, they'll do that.
Injure them completely.
Wow. Okay.
Not before we hopefully see them.
Yes.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll get to see them, yeah.
Okay. Bayern Benfica. Bayern should really not have a hard time there.
Hang on. How many? I'm going 8.
But Bayern score?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like 6.
I'm not going that high.
Over two legs?
Oh, two? Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean
six.
5. I'll go
six.
5.
Six. Right. Yeah. PSG are playing City. That's an interesting one. City aren't in the best form, which is a shame.
Kashiko.
But PSG should really win. Oilico.
Yeah. You know, I've said this before on the pod, and I really like the look of PSG this season. I really want them to get past City with no problem, no issues, get to the semifinals, because they've never been that far before.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Someone said, one of the PSG, I can't remember who it was, but said Yaya Touré is not a threat. And you know what? He's absolutely right. Yaya Touré will not do anything.
No, PSG
game.
Should.
He's not going to do anything with Verratti and Thiago Motta.
And Matuidi.
Or Rabiot.
No. Rabiot. Matuidi is just going to bust this.
Yeah. Wolfsburg is playing Madrid, so Madrid should really make it.
But that's tricky.
True, but Madrid and Bayern are...
I'll say 2-0 and 2-0, both legs.
Maybe.
I mean, you saw Roma. Roma played better games twice, and Madrid still came out with a 4-0 aggregate. They score the goal at the end of the attack, right? Before, the last thing to talk about is the Europa League. United-Liverpool 1-1 in the second leg. United at 1-0 looked like there was a slight chance. The crowd was behind them.
They played
it
great
until
Philippe Coutinho absolutely castrated Varela, and then absolutely... What's that word when you make something masculine, feminine? Emasculate.
De Gea.
Only time I've seen this season where De Gea looked useless.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful.
It was a very calm finish, to be honest. Because De Gea did close the angle. And it looked like there was nowhere to go, but continue with a brilliant piece of play. So Liverpool are through now, and they get to play Dortmund, so that's done.
Straight, because Klopp beforehand was like, I do not want Dortmund.
Yes. Yeah.
It was funny, because before that he said, why would I want the best team, is what he said. And then when he got there, he goes, this is a dream of mine. I'm like, you literally said the opposite the day before.
Sounds like Fabian Delph.
Nice. Valencia, this was, I don't know why I watched this game, but I did. And it was a shame because Valencia played out of their skin. They played fantastic. They were 2-0 up, which takes them ahead on aggregate. And then Aduriz scores one goal. They, you know, Bilbao still lose the game 2-1, but they go ahead on goal.
Bilbao are a solid team, especially when it comes to Europe. I have to give them
And Aduriz has had a phenomenal
season. For a 35-year-old.
Yeah.
No, wait, especially.
I really hope that he goes to the Euros because he needs to. But B, when you're playing Bilbao, you have to like factor in an Aduriz goal at this point.
Yes.
Like you need more goals than you think.
Agreed.
Can I just say that this second leg taught me something. And it's that Gary Neville, in a team that could understand him speak English, may not be that bad. Because overall, he started pretty crappy, but overall, he's done it half decent.
Yes,
I won't say decent, half decent.
It's also his first ever managerial like appointment. Like, guys, you're not supposed to just hit the ground running. Valencia's a big team. He didn't just take over, you know, like Stoke.
And there's a lot of effort that I can see the players kind of getting to grips with what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Maybe they're learning English or he's learning Spanish. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, credit to him because they fought so hard in the second leg and almost pulled.
I think he would do well eventually when he gets his next job. Sevilla did what Sevilla do, which is absolutely dominate teams at home, just crush the Europa, or not even. Their record at home is probably the best in Europe this season. It's phenomenal.
It's like they fly under the radar with this.
Every season
Europa
we
League.
Only start regular semifinals.
Unai Emery is the Europa League master.
He
navigates this competition like a boss.
Yes.
I don't understand how he does it.
Gamero, 2 goals. And Reyes rolling back the years with 2 assists. The first was brilliant. Took it on the chest, passed the guy.
You forget he still plays sometimes.
Yeah, you forget he still plays. Absolutely true. So 3-0 there for Sevilla. And last but not least, Spurs lost to Dortmund 2-1. Dortmund came up with a full-strength team again.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like 3-0 up. I don't know why, but Aubameyang with the first knuckle shot into the side netting from 30 yards out.
That was one of the most beautiful goals of the week, but not as good as Suarez's goal. It's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't thought
Aubameyang's confidence is through the roof.
Yep.
He'll try anything and it will work. He's fantastic. 60 million. Guys, let's start a Kickstarter campaign.
Get him on the pod.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Guys, please contribute to our Kickstarter campaign to bring Aubameyang to Toronto FC. We're going to do it.
Yes.
It's going to be our year.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
else?
It's our year.
It's a shame that... Yeah.
I can't believe you think he's better than Jozy Altidore.
I mean...
Yeah, I think it's a good note.
What about Jermaine Defoe? He's in form now.
Yeah.
He's banging for him.
Forget
it. He's still not as good as Seba Giovinco, though.
What? He is not. Giovinco's better than Defoe.
Close.
Come on.
No, I know he's good. Yeah.
Okay, you're okay with that.
I was taken aback by the fact that Giovinco was mentioned. I had to like catch my breath.
Okay.
In ecstasy or in?
I couldn't tell.
That's someone who's always under the radar. Have you seen how small?
Yes.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.